Oh, to God be the glory. Where are we going, Danny? We want to go in the Spirit, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we need to have is revelation. Revelation. Revelation of things, of mysteries of God. So many times we've heard things over and over and over, you know, but we just didn't get revelation off of it, you know? Because when that revelation comes, it changes something in you. There's a light that replaces a deception or a confusion or even an assumption, you know? And when you get this revelation, one of the problems that we have is many people get revelations, but they're not from God. I got a revelation, praise God. Will it bring glory to self? Yes. Well, that ain't God. did it interrupt God? Well, yes. Well, then it's not God. It's not God. Hello. So there are revelations that are not revelations from the Lord. They are revelations from darkness which puff up the flesh. And, of course, blow up the soul. Amen? And I want to talk about something in about two realms, which is very important. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 1? Let's go right to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Tonight's teaching is called Doorway Between Two Realms. Doorway Between Two Realms. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to walk on both sides? Well, you're supposed to. If you don't want to, you need to. Jesus paid a great price for me and you to walk on both sides of the realm. Amen? Not heaven and hell. Hello. On both sides of the realm. Spiritual and natural. Would you read verse 1 with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a very profound, awesome statement. God created the heavens and the earth. We know that He created the heavens first, the spiritual hosts and so forth. But He created the earth, meaning the natural arena or the places of matter. Tangible. Amen. In other words, these two realms are actually joined together. Does everybody understand that? These two realms are joined together. The natural realm and the spiritual realm was actually joined together. Does everybody understand that? And I'll explain it to you a little bit more. Go to verse 27. It says what? Or go to 26. Then God said, let us make man in our what? Image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's an amazing statement also. He said, let's make them in our image and likeness. Amen? You know why? Because they're actually a part of both realms. If you're made in God's image and likeness, you're a part of the natural and the spirit. At this period of time, both realms were still joined together. In verse 27, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him, male and female. He created them. Then God what? Blessed them and said to them what? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now that is powerful. What was God? God took and He created man. He created a living being in His likeness and in His image, so that there would be a reflection of Him, not only in the natural realm, but these realms were both united. They were joined together. There was no separation. It was one. Is everybody with me? So God created man in His image and likeness because He created it to be a part of the adjoining realms. You know, when you begin to read in the Scripture, and we'll read a little bit, go to Genesis chapter 2. In verse 18. Would you read it with me? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Now we know that the Lord created Adam and He put him in the garden. He gave him some rules and regulations to abide by. It will keep him joined with him. Amen. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Comparable to him. In other words, if he was making something comparable to him in this arena, was something that he could communicate with. Does anybody understand it? Something that, well, if he was alone, I mean, you're not going to create something you can't communicate with. You'd still be alone. Hello? Why? Because they were in a joined realm. Now here's something powerful. So out of the ground, the Lord, in verse 19, God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. And what? He brought them to Adam. He brought them to Adam. God brought the animals to Adam. He did not bring Adam to the animals. He brought the animals to Adam, right? To see what he would what? Call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Now that's communion, isn't it? So you got to understand something here. Here's God and Adam. Adam! Hi, God. He probably called him Dad. Because he was his son. Son, how you doing? Hey, I brought you something. Were they able to see each other? Of course they were. Why? Because both realms were joined together, weren't they? Does everybody understand that? Both realms. So when God created the animals and he brought them to Adam, Adam said, listen, I'm going to name this one. Do you think the animals communicated with Adam in some sort of way?
Yeah.
Amen, they did. Amen. Don't animals communicate with me and you? It's a little bit difficult at some times, right? But you're talking about two realms that were joined together now. They're able to communicate. Look what the Word tells us what's going to happen at the end. It talks about the viper going to hang out and whatever. And I mean, didn't the serpent talk to Eve in the garden? So if the serpent talked, maybe the other ones could talk too. Amen? Hello? So there was a communion, wasn't there? There was a correspondence. Adam was no longer alone, was he? He was no longer alone. What did God do? He created animals for Adam. And then he brought them to Adam and said, here, come on, you name them. What an awesome thing. Both realms are what? Join together. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 3. The doorway between two realms. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, like I said, the serpent talked to the woman, didn't he? Amen. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. She didn't say Adam said. She said God said. Amen? So God communed with Eve, didn't he?
Yeah.
You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it. He might have warned Eve a little bit more, I don't know. Lest you what? Lest you die. Lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. So he called God a liar, didn't he? See, she didn't know what lying meant. She didn't even know what lying was. He said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like what? God. Knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and desire to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. That's something very wild that the serpent said. He said, listen, your eyes are going to be open. Do you think maybe he knew that if he can get them to eat the apple, that disobedience would shut or divide the realm?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It would separate the realm.
Amen.
That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to separate man from God's presence. And of course, when they ate in verse 7, what happened? Then the eyes of both of them were what? Open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, one time here, the Lord brought the animals to Adam and talked to Adam right face to face. He said, name the animals, and so forth, and they communed, and the next thing you know, Adam and Eve became disobedient, right? And their eyes were open to the natural realm and shut to the spirit realm. The two realms were divided. Because here's proof of it. In verse 8 it says, and they, what? Heard the sound of the Lord instead of saw God. Walking in a garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So we see something happened dramatically. Both realms were divided. Adam and Eve put on a whole other nature, and God could not allow them to stay in that nature. And one of God's purposes was to rejoin both realms. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 17. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. How many of y'all want to walk in both realms?
Woo-hoo.
Praise God. Amen. We're supposed to.
Amen.
Verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and not me. That's why he put Adam to sleep, right? When Eve came out, he put Adam to sleep. Didn't you all ever hear that joke about Adam going to sleep? No. Hallelujah. Well, you'll have to find it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then to Adam he said, well, I'll share it to you. Something about Adam. God put Adam to sleep because when Eve came, he knew that there would be a honey-do list for eternity. Hallelujah. Adam would never get rest again. Praise God. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Now that sounds kind of strange. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Now God cursed the ground for Adam's sake, so they didn't have to be trapped in this realm under Satan's rule or under his reign. But that death would be the only way of escape from this realm. The realms became divided. Satan succeeded in shutting man out of the eternal presence of God. But God had a plan, didn't he? Hallelujah. That's why you and I are born with blinders on. Has everybody got it? That's why you and I are born. We are born with blinders. We are born into this realm. That's why you must be born again. We are born under the rule of Satan. That's why you and I must be adopted in Christ. That's why people do things that they don't know what they do. So many times we've done things in our life that we wish we didn't do, right? I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Right? And in this arena that we're talking about, there is two realms. There is the spiritual realm and there's the natural realm. There's the eternal realm and there's the temporary realm. And Satan knew if he could shut that door, he could shut man from the eternal realm, he can keep him in a temporary state. God cursed the ground and everything in it, the earth, so that man would not have to live tormented under the rule of Satan. So death was the only way of escape. Hello? So now you and I have got to come through this birth canal It's amazing that we're born to die. I mean, think about it. Everything that is in the earth now is born to die. Every seed must what? Die. Everything's got to die. Death is it, man. Until everything changes. Where you and I are groaning, waiting for this change. So even God's creation has been cursed. The ground has been cursed. Everything's cursed. Everything is dying. Everything that is brought to life is actually, we think, oh, we're actually just dying. Yes. Because once life has been conceived, it's on its way to death. Yes. Why? To make the escape of this realm and come into the eternal realm. You know how many people hate dying to self? Oh, yeah. Go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Doorway between two realms. Would you read starting in verse 3 with me? 3 to 10. Who may ascend into the hill of God, of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. This Jacob, this the generation of those who what? Seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you what? Everlasting doors. What's he saying? Man, we want to ascend back into your presence. We want to get in. He's saying, listen, you can't come into the presence the way you are. Something's going to have to happen. But one day, these two realms will be rejoined. Who can ascend into the mount? Who can return to the presence of the Lord but he has clean hands and a pure heart? Lift up your gates. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall what?
Come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in what? Battle. What's he battling for? Your soul. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift up your everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. So what's happening is we want to return back to his presence. We don't even realize it. Even when we were in the world, we didn't realize that we've been trying to return back to his presence. But the devil would put all kinds of deceptions in our paths because of the two realms that were divided. We tried every door there was to get back in his presence. And we couldn't get through them. Crying out daily. In some areas. Not even know sometimes why we were groaning and hurting. But there was something in us always telling us there's something better than this. Something better than this. Something better. Something I'm supposed to do. Even when we were angry with God and we blamed God. That was our mind, but in our heart and in our spirit we were like, I know there's a God. I know there's another place, no matter what we were going through. Amen.
Amen.
Go to Genesis 14. Oh, hallelujah. God had a plan, didn't he? Genesis 14 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken, who was Lot, taken captive, He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hob, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So he went and rescued them, defeated the enemies, and took all their spoil, brought them back and brought his brother back. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of the Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God. Now this is very powerful because something profound was happening here. God was bringing forth bread and wine. What was he doing? He was preparing to return his presence. This was all in preparation and preparing of returning his presence. Now look at what happened. And what did he do? He blessed him and he said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread of a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Manur. Let them take their portion." Now, the bread and wine, it was symbolic, wasn't it? The bread and wine was symbolic of Christ to come. The word says that he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have what? Eternal or everlasting life. See, God was preparing to bring the door back in so that the two realms could be joined. Does everybody understand that? But he had to do it for, and first of all, you're going to find out if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 7. That Melchizedek was God. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7. So the Lord himself came as high priest, didn't he? And he made covenant with Abram. And he gave him promises. He had communion with him. And Abram gave him a tithe. In other words, that was representing a price that had to be paid. So he gave him a tithe. And that price is still given, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 1 through 6. Would you read it with me? "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tithe, part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, neither being of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." Amen. "And indeed, those who are of the houses of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the Lord, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the what? Promises." So understand, this Melchizedek was God himself as high priest, coming and making reconciliation. Remember, the Lord, even though he removed Adam and Eve from the garden, he still told them, he restored to them covenant, didn't he, through the blood, through the sacrificial killing of the of an animal, putting skin on them, and which represented be fruitful and multiply. Then what did God do? Of course, he killed all mankind and so forth, and everything was restored again. Abraham being called of the father of righteousness and the seed and the righteous seed that was going to go forth, which was going to go forth carrying the promises of God. This was also establishing covenant between the God Almighty and mankind. God Almighty, things are beginning. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. That's why in the Old Testament, we know that Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. In the Old Testament, it's a representation of a way. He was preparing the way, wasn't he? For what? The truth to come, so that we could have what? Life. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. Doorway between two realms. Oh, to God be the glory. It was something very awesome that Jesus said. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it too. You know why? He walked on both sides. He was the joiner of both sides. In verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Go to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt where? Among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So understand something, that if the Word became flesh, right, and dwelt among us, it was a representation of the door coming in. Now the door has just entered. In other words, the tangible door, the tangible presence of God. See, God had to become man to reunite the natural with the spiritual. He had to become flesh. He had to become man to walk in this side, didn't he? Remember, he already nothing. In other words, the Word always confirms itself. That's why it's precept upon precept and line upon line. So as Melchizedek was so forth called, and God came there, it meant a representation of that He was coming again to reconcile all things. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
So the doorway to the eternal realm had just become tangible. The doorway to the eternal realm just became tangible, man. Right into the natural realm. Go to John 10. No, John 14, I'm sorry. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John, did I say 14? Okay. Cool. 1 through 6. Would you read it with me? John 14, 1 through 6. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, there's a lot of doors and mansions, huh? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way. The way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. So what was he saying? He was saying, I am the door. No one can get to this mansion. No one can come to my Father except for through me. The door had become tangible to all mankind. Has everybody got it? All praise be to God. Go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Now, in the expression of Jesus saying, I am the way, truth, and life, those were the three doorways in the tabernacle. Those were the three doors. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, those are the three chambers of the tabernacle that they had to go. There was a process, a ritual that they went through. They went through the washing and so forth. They went through the sacrifice of the animal, the washing of the blood. Then they went into the next chamber. And then they went into the next chamber. The outer court was known as the outer court. Then the next chamber was known as the holy place. And the next chamber was known as the holy of holies. So these were doors that you had to go through before the high priest, who was the only one that could do it once a year, went into the holy of holies to commune with God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Exodus, what did I say, 14?
12.
Oh, Exodus 12? Okay. Oh, praise be to God. Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying what? This month shall be your beginning of months, and shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month every man shall take of himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep of the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they eat. So they're putting it on the door. They're putting blood on the lintels of this door, right? Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Let me share something with you. Even Jesus' sacrifice was a representation of protecting the blood, protecting the door from any what? Evil. Does everybody get it? So here the blood was protecting the door. In other words, no one was able to come up this door, no other way. No one. You had to go through the blood. No evil could go through that door that represented eternal realm. Why? Because we were trapped in this temporary realm, and now there was only one way to get to the other realm, and that was through the door, but it had to have blood. There had to be blood on there so that you could go back into the eternal realm and walk in it. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 26. Somewhere around there. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, after the cloud lifted from me and I sat up and I began to talk with the Lord, it was very interesting because it was like the natural realm opened up. It like split, like a curtain. It just split open and the Lord was gone and it went right back. It was like a Stargate. You know, it was like all of a sudden the natural realm just opened up, almost like a curtain stretched out, opened right up, he was gone, and it shut right up. It was like you almost wanted to touch the other side, which was right there. Right there. You know, I was like, whoa. Man, I didn't want to stay here. I didn't want to stay here at all. I wanted to go home. Man, when I had a taste of home, it was like, forget this place. Wife, kids, and everything, see ya. Didn't matter to me, man. Hallelujah. I just take me home, Daddy. See, that's what's right here, that other realm right here. And God wants us to walk in both sides. He desires us to walk in both sides. That's why the Bible tells us that the God of this age blinds us. And those who are perishing, why? Because they don't believe in the truth, the gospel. But when one turns to the Lord, the scales come off. And who is the Lord? The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because those scales come off so you can walk in both arenas.
Yes.
Amen? Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's difficult to walk in both arenas. Because what happens is people just walk by what they've read. And they don't walk by fellowship. And that's what separates religion from relationship. Remember, God had a relationship with Adam in the garden. The devil succeeded in breaking that relationship with the presence of God, didn't he? He separated both realms. But Jesus came back saying, listen, I'm the door, man. Here it is. I'm the way, truth, and life. And the Jews understood what was being said. And they hated him for that. Because they knew he was claiming himself as God. They hated him because of that. He claimed himself to be the tabernacle. He claimed himself to be the eternal door to mankind so that man would have an access to the eternal realm. They hated him for that. They were willing to do everything they could. Remember, Satan succeeded the one time in shutting that and separating the two realms and shutting that door of fellowship. And Jesus came to what? Reconcile. Isn't that what it was? That's what salvation is about, isn't it? Yeah. Salvaging something. Right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Claudius. Where did I say go to Matthew 26? I think that's it. And go to 27 instead. Bring your Holy Ghost eraser. How are we on time? Glory to God. In verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. In other words, it was twilight. Can you imagine? Here it is, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden it got dark. Boom. Remember the Lord said, and sacrifice that lamb at twilight. All of a sudden it became dark. Why? Because he was a sacrificial lamb, wasn't he? The door was about to open. The blood had to be shed. Right? Because he said, I am the door. The blood had to be shed on the door so that others could have access to the other side. Just like that's why he was known as the Passover. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he took on all the sins of man. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple, which separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place and the rest of the world, it says, it what? It was torn from top to bottom. In other words, the door. God said, I'm coming. See, understand this. Even with Melchizedek, God came, didn't he? His whole purpose was a preparation so that man could be reconciled to God. When God came as a door through Jesus Christ, and the blood was shed, now no evil could come in, right? That veil was ripped in the Holy of Holies. That door was opened. That eternal door was opened so that God was allowing man to have fellowship with him. You know, something I always share with people. First, God had to forgive us before he could grant forgiveness. He first had to forgive us before he could grant forgiveness. Because of what happened. Is everybody all right? In verse 51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open. Now that was a sure sign of another realm, right? I mean, if the graves are open, that means here it is, the door is open. What do the graves represent? The temporary realm. It was just open. Open for the eternal realm. The graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. The graves were open, you've seen all these dead bodies. Now, they didn't get up and walk around yet. Just the graves were open. And many of the saints, the bodies, were brought up to the surface. Boom. Remember, there was earthquakes. These earthquakes shimmied up some of these coffins and whatever, or broke open some of these walls, because most of them were put in tombs and stuff like that. And some of these things were opened up. Some of these tombs were busted down. And all of a sudden, there were dead bodies all over the place. And all the saints. Now, these are the ones that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during his ministry. Because they were going to be representation of the first fruits. These were not of the old. The graves were open to the saints. This is a representation of those who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believed in him. Their graves were opened up. Okay? And so they laid out there, who had fallen asleep, were raised. And coming out of their graves when? After his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, can you imagine that? Man, let me tell you something. When the Lord hit that ground, when his spirit hit that earth, when that door opened and that veil ripped, the eternal realm was opened up to all mankind. And it was first opened up to all of them that accepted him. They had to become alive because eternity was just granted to them. John chapter 10. The doorway between two realms. Jesus was the doorway between two realms. Amen. See, there's so much. You know, we read certain things that Jesus was the door, you know. Jesus is the way, truth, and life, yeah. But there are so many deep riches if we'll just allow the Spirit to bring us there. So many deep riches. The other realm is right here. It's right here. The Word says that God is less than a breath away. His Word is right there. The other realm. It's right here. And you and I have the ability and authority to walk in both realms. John chapter 10. You know what? When you really get the revelation of this and the understanding, you'll understand why the apostles could care less about if they died or not. They cared less about anything. Their only purpose was to bring people to the door. Amen. That was it. Amen. You remember, the Word tells us that the cares of the world choke the seed. Remember when the wedding went out and they went and they had an invitation to everybody to come to this wedding? The door. And many of them refused the invitation because of what? Businesses, families. I'm too busy. Money. Lustly desires. They were too busy. That's still going on today, you know. And starting at verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a what? And a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But there is someone that's going to prevent you from getting there. He's called the thief. But the thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it what? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we see here that Jesus is expressing himself, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the doorway to both realms. Okay, let's go somewhere else for a second. 1 John chapter 5. Jesus. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 6, would you read it with me? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit of truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are one. So if the Son, or the Word became flesh, came to the natural realm, did they all come? Yes. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of His Son. So what makes the connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm? The Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I leave. Amen? He will guide you to all truth. Where is He going to guide you? To the door, man. He's going to guide you to everything of truth. It is to our advantage that He left. And the Holy Spirit is the connector between the spirit realm and the natural realm. That's why you see the difference between religion and relationship. Now, does that mean that those who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can't go home? No. But there is a difference between walking right, because the Word tells us that no evil can enter that realm, can it? And those who practice such things as fornication and so forth, lying and cheating and all, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because that blood that is still over the lintels of the door, hello? No evil can come in. Has everybody got it? No evil now. That blood, that door is protected by the blood of the Lamb. And no one, except for who's been washed by the blood, can enter through that door. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, and starting at verse 1, let's read it together. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, one of the reasons why He didn't respect it is because God had already showed Adam and Eve what He accepted. Why? Because he killed an animal in the garden, didn't he? So these are the things that please God. Well, one chose to please Him, and one chose to please Him out of his own works. Hallelujah. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? Read this with me, verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? So in other words, if you change your way, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, what? Sin lies at the door. Where's it lying? At the door, man. Why? Because that's what's going to prevent you from getting to the other side. And its desire is what? For you. Just like that same desire was for Adam and Eve, which trapped man in a temporary realm. And the only way out was death. But what? Sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should what? Rule over it. You should rule over it. Praise be to God. So we've got no excuse, right? Go to Matthew 25. Oh, hallelujah. Can you all hear me back there? Okay. Glorious. Jesus, the doorway between two realms. Starting at verse 1. And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. A virgin is one that's been washed by the blood. Now 5 of them were wives and 5 of them were boneheads. those who were foolish or boneheads, took their own lamps and took no oil with them. Oh, hallelujah. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and saying, "Get your own, man. Repent and be baptized in the Holy Ghost." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the what? Door was shut. That's going to happen someday. That's why it's called the age of grace, or the dispensation of grace. That door will shut. And in some people's lives, that door has shut. The day you die, that door is either open or shut. Remember, when you die, who you serve is where you go. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Or the day or the hour that you're called home. Hallelujah. So we want to be wise virgins, don't we? Go to Romans 8. So those two realms still divided? Yes, they are, aren't they? They're still divided. But Jesus has made the way for us to come out from that realm into the eternal realm. Romans 8. That's why he is the doorway between two realms. Romans 8 and verse 18. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Say, in us.
In us.
"For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now understand something, this. If creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God, it's because creation is waiting to be reunited. The two realms, they're wanting to be reunited, don't they? They're waiting for direction. They're waiting. They're waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, because you know what's going to happen? They're going to know that the two realms have been joined back together. "For creation," verse 20, "was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also be delivered from what? The bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That's its original state, isn't it? Free. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Why? Because our body, that eternal body, you and I desire that body. Why? Because it matches our true home of eternity. Even though we are in this realm, we are groaning. We groan. Not to be unclothed, but to be more clothed with the glory of God. We are groaning for our glorified body. Why? Because we so desire to be reunited with our natural state of the eternal realm. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 1 to verse 7. Read it, please. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Glory to God. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not to because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Why? Because the Spirit is what makes the connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm. The Holy Spirit allows you to walk in your true habitation and temporary habitation. Hello? Why? Through Christ, who is the door. He's the doorway to both realms. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by... We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to Him. 2 Peter 3. Back in Peter 3. Glory. So as you're walking down the street, you can always see that door right next to you, right? Hallelujah. Get me out of here, Dad. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will what? Pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So this is all going to go away. Why? Because they're going to be reunited, aren't they? It's going to be reunited where righteousness dwells again. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, but even if our gospel, even if the message of truth is blinded or veiled, it is blinded or veiled to those who are what? Perishing or decaying. Whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, hello, it's just a light affliction. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's still a light affliction. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? You can die and go home? Isn't that a way of escape? You know how many people consider suicide because they think it's the only way to escape? See, they even know it, don't they? I tried to commit suicide. That was my only way of escape from the torment of demonization. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know God could deliver me here. The only thing that came to me was, kill yourself. I began to agree with that voice of the stranger. Because it was my way of escape. Amen? Think about it. Hallelujah. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it may seem forever, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, you may not understand or can figure out why you're going through what you're going through, but it is working for you if you let it. Many people run from it and don't let God deal with them. See, because God wants to use me and you as one of His doors. Does everybody understand that? He wants to use us to be His door. Amen? There's got to be a key to that door, right? You're going to be the key. That's why He gave you two keys, bind and loose, right? While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Ah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Revelation 4. Read verse 1 with me, please. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a what? A door standing open in heaven. Hallelujah. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Come up here. Come on, man. I paid the price for you. Time for you to come home. Come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat on it, there was like a jasper and sardius and stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That's your home. That's Dad's home, man. Man, your daddy's got a place that's awesome. Before the throne there was a sea of glass. Praise God. No sod, glass. Don't have to water the lawn or nothing, man. Don't have to cut it either or trim it. No sprinkler systems. Oh, hallelujah. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. What a palace. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a living creature was like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Man, God had His own band right there, man, called the living creatures. I'm surprised there's not a band out there called the Living Creatures, you know. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall out before Him who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Go to Revelation 3. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 20. And we'll close here. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Revelation 3 and verse 20. Read it with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're the church. Jesus is the doorway to both, between both fronts. Every one of us has a choice what side we choose to walk in. Remember, the devil's always going to try and prevent you from getting through that door. He's going to try and hit you with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are the three main categories he's going to hit you with. He knows exactly how to get us and prevent us from getting in there. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, walk in the Spirit, you walk on both sides. Only in the Spirit are both realms joined together. Not to anyone else, but only to you. Does everybody get that? The only both realms are joined together for you, not for no one else. Only you. Through the blood and through the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you for the price that Jesus paid. We thank you for coming and opening the door that we may have life. And Lord, even as we eat of your flesh and drink of your blood, as we drink of your Spirit and eat of your word, as we have communion with you through bread and wine and juice, we desire your fellowship. Now, Father, I pray a blessing on each and every one, and I ask, Lord, that you would bring visions and dreams to your people. Bring encouragement to each and every one. And reveal yourself of your glory and your power. And who you are. Though Satan may rule this planet, but you own it. And we stand on what you own, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.